This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
They're two of the biggest Irish bands of all time, and they were two of the biggest boy bands in the world back in the 1990s. With over 20 UK number one singles between them, they have left a lasting legacy. And now Keith Duffy from Boyzone and Brian McFadden from Westlife are touring the UK and Ireland and coming to Brighton on the 8th of December with a stage show looking back at the life of the bands and singing some of the hits. The boy band supergroup are called Boyzlife with a Z. And I'm joined now on the phone by the life part of the group, Brian McFadden. How are you?
How are you doing, Anthony? All right?
Not bad. Is boy band the right phrase to use there, or should we call it a man band?
At this stage, it's an old man band. I think we're long past the boy band stage. I don't know what you'd want to call us at this stage, but we'll take anything.
Yeah, well, the name is obviously a cross of both bands, and the show itself is a cross between a theatre show and a gig, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. This is our actual third tour now in 18 months. And the first show was a lot of talking, a lot of videos, and a lot of stories. And we didn't do that many songs. We only did maybe 6 or 7 songs on the show. So as we've gone on to do more touring and new shows, we're putting more songs in. So this one, this Christmas tour is going to be a lot more music heavy. We're still obviously going to tell stories and do stuff like that, but we're going to try and fit in a lot more of the hits, because I think the one reaction we got from the fans was that even though they loved the storytelling, they loved all that, they wanted to hear more of the hits, because they were missing out on some of their favourite songs. So we're packing a lot more songs into this show.
How long is the show then? Is it an hour and a half?
How long is a piece of string? It depends. First of all, it depends on Keith Duffy's mood, because if you get him a mic in his hand, he starts talking. You could have an hour show, or it could be a 4-hour show. It depends on his mood.
Right. Okay.
It's different every night. You know, it's one of those things. We never have any kind of a structure. I mean, we kind of know what songs we're going to sing, but literally it changes every night what we do. Right. We just kind of, depending on the mood, or it could be 3 hours or it could be 2 hours. You know.
So book the babysitter out for the whole night and probably the next day as well.
I would definitely take the next day off if you're coming to the show, absolutely.
So how did the tour come about? Because it's, I suppose, you two are obviously from different bands, so it's not a typical kind of boy band reunion.
Yeah, the original idea was actually Keith's idea. He wanted to do a one-man show where he kind of had an autobiographical show about his life and his, you know, different things that happened when he was in the band and his career. And then he kind of met up with me and thought to himself, you know, this is actually better with teams, because we're quite similar, you know, career-wise, and we come from the same part of Dublin, so we've got a lot in common. So it made sense for the two of us to kind of do it together and kind of bounce off each other. And then obviously, song-wise, you know, we've got the hits from two bands, Westlife and Boyzone, which made it obviously even more appealing. So it went from there, and we've been doing it now for 18 months, and it's been great fun, a lot of fun touring with my mate on the road, playing golf, just enjoying ourselves, really.
Cool. I suppose the fans then, you've obviously doubled your audience, Westlife and Boyzone fans, no doubt, coming to the gigs.
Yeah, well, I think there's, you know, there's obviously Boyzone fans, there's Westlife fans, but a lot of them cross over as well. You know, we did have a lot of the same fans. We obviously started our career as Boyzone support act, so a lot of our fans were originally Boyzone fans, and then obviously came with us afterwards, you know.
Yeah, and there was quite a link, kind of looking back at the start of your career, because Louis Walsh, who obviously was managing Boyzone, was managing it from the start. And Ronan Keating as well was involved, wasn't he, as a mentor?
Yeah, Ronan managed Westlife with Louis for the first two albums. And then we parted ways after that. I think after two albums, there was not really much more that Ronan could contribute at that stage. And he was obviously very busy with his own solo career as well. So, but he was there for the first two albums.
And I suppose kind of it must have been great getting his advice, because a boy band, it's one of those things. It's a weird description for a band, really, isn't it? Because what is a boy band? Is it a band that just sings? Is it a band that plays instruments as well? Is it a certain age?
I don't. I guess it's just a band that's made up of male people, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, for us, I think, you know, the old version of what a boy band was people dancing around on stage singing pop songs. But I think, you know, over the years, maybe we started like that in both bands, but by the end we became more, I would say, vocal groups, you know, vocal harmony groups.
Yeah.
Less dancing and less boy bandy, and just little bit more about the songs, I think, in the end.
Yeah, so when you look at kind of boy bands now, do you think they've changed much? Do you recognise what they must be living through, or do you think the music industry has changed so much since then?
Oh, it's changed massively. But, you know, no matter what people said, you know, I think almost pretty much after Westlife, people said, that's it now, that's the end of the boy bands. Because there have been boy bands for years, we take that, you know, with Boyzone and Five and Blue and Westlife. It was all, you know, there always seemed to be these massive boy bands. And I think after Westlife, people said, right, that's it. Mm. And then all of a sudden along comes One Direction and just, you know, becomes probably the biggest of them all.
Yeah, blows it up again, yeah. And we mentioned kind of band names earlier. I remember when Westlife started, there was a big push for the band on the likes of Dusty Road Show on 2FM. And I always remember the reason given for the name was that a lot of the members of the band were from the west of Ireland. Was that really the reason for the name?
It was, yeah. Originally the band was called, there was lots of names. They were called IOU. Mm. And then we changed that to Westside because obviously the boys being from the west side of Ireland. And then we couldn't use that name. So our first single was actually released as Westside. Swear It Again was actually released under the name Westside. And then we had to change it for the international release. So then we changed it to Westlife.
Right.
And that's how it came from. So it is. It's got to do with the west of Ireland.
How did it feel being a dub? I know yourself and Nicky Byrne were the two dubs. Was there like a kind of country city divide in the band at the time?
Yeah, well, they were the West and we were the Life. We were the Life of the band.
All right. Well, that's what the Life bit was. All right.
Yeah, me and Nicky were the Life and they were the West.
Well, we'll say no more about that one. We'll move swiftly on. Well, the name worked because the first few years of Westlife, first seven singles went straight in at number one in the UK. Now, that must have been insane because that must have been really, really big. It must have been a kind of a mad period, really.
Yeah, it was crazy. But to be honest with you, only for Bob the Builder pipping us to number one. Like actually, the week that we got beaten by Bob the Builder for our eighth single was actually our biggest first week sale of any song we had. But obviously, Bob the Builder was just so massive. And if it hadn't been for that, we actually would have had our first 12 go to number one. So
wow.
Because the next five after that went to number one as well. So it was a bit of a shame, really. But and when it started, we just didn't know what was going on. You know, every single was going to just, we never got a chance to stop and take it all in. It was just constantly on the go. But after I left the band, that I looked back and went, that was pretty mad what just happened. You know, it just never seemed like it was going to stop. Everything that was happening was just getting bigger and bigger and more successful. And it was quite surreal that 6 years I was in the band. It was quite crazy.
And do you remember going to the countries you went to? Did you kind of soak it in at the time, or was it just you were
Not
just so
all.
Tired?
No. When I think back of it now, it's all just one big blur, and every country kind of molds into one. Because, you know, you're doing the same thing in every country, and you're just in an airport, you're in a hotel, you're in a TV studio, you're in a gig, you're in a car. That's it. So you don't really get to see much of the country. So when I look back now, I find it quite hard to separate them all.
What would be your main memory then? Because, you know, I suppose, as you said, you left the band and that must have been a tough decision. But what was your kind of main standout memory of being in Westlife?
I just think that I don't have any one particular memory that stands out. The whole thing just, it felt like I wanted to pinch myself because it just didn't seem real. It just seemed like I must be dreaming. I'm going to wake up any minute. There's no way this is actually happening to me. You know, I went from working in McDonald's to a year later having a number one single and being standing on stage just going on before Boyzone in front of 20,000 people. Just the whole thing was just, it was just a 6 year hazy feeling of just something, someone's going to jump out here and tell me this is a joke and you're going
to
wake up.
So it was kind of like a rocket then, or a rocket rise to the top, I guess.
Yeah, crazy, absolutely crazy.
How I suppose when you left then, because obviously that was a big decision to make. Some of us when we leave jobs, we kind of get very nervous going in telling the boss, but that must have been quite a strange conversation you had.
Yeah, it was, but I told people separately, you know, that I was thinking about leaving, and I kind of sat down with each one, and I think no one took me seriously until I actually sat down and spoke to everyone together then and left. But you know, you make these decisions in your life and you stand by them. I think at the end of the day, I wouldn't change it. I'd go back and do it. You know, and I stand by my decision, and I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't made that decision.
Exactly. And when you left then, did it take a while to readjust and go into, I suppose, singer-songwriter mode? Because you released some solo work as well.
Yeah, not really, no, because I was already writing in the band, so I was spending a lot of time in the studio, you know, writing songs for other people and stuff at that stage. So it wasn't much of a difference, really. As soon as I went into the studio, it was just, instead of writing for someone else, I was writing for myself, so Quite an easy transition, to be honest with you.
Keith Duffy slags off his own singing in public. How bad is he, really? Is he? He's all right.
He's going very well. Obviously, he didn't sing very much when he was a boy's own, did a lot of BVs, but we've been working very hard together on getting his voice into good shape, and he's singing magnificent now. He really is. Mm. He's really found his own voice, and he holds his own now. He really does.
I think he kind of self-deprecates quite a bit, doesn't he? I wouldn't believe he was a bad singer.
Yeah, no, he does talk himself down, but he's a lot better than he says he is.
So, yeah, I suppose on the tour itself, then you're obviously talking about stories from being, you know, in the biggest boy bands of the 90s. Are there still stories you haven't told each other?
No, we've told each other everything. Because preparing for the first tour, we literally just drove in cars, played golf, and just basically told each other all the stories, and then we've been telling each other, that's a good one for the show, that's a good one for the show. So we've heard a lot. We've had a lot of stories.
So no secrets. Well, listen, people of Brighton and Hove can catch you on the 8th of December, which is a Friday night. So it's going to be lively, I'd imagine, at the Old Mark.
The weekend shows are always the best ones, so it should be fun.
Good stuff, good stuff. And if people want to find out more, it's boyslifetour.com. Brian, listen, thanks very much and best of luck with the tour.
Thanks a million, Paul.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And to hear more podcasts like this, check out radioreverb.com.